Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here. And this name of this program is The Tale of Two Cities, an examination of the bicoastal lifestyle. More than any other dichotomy in today's life, I suppose, the division between the New York lifestyle and the California lifestyle has become the most prevalent in our daily lives. People compare California to New York and New York to California constantly. And a new book has come out discussing this problem, this situation. And it's entitled The Bicoastal Handbook, and my guests are the authors of this book. They are Gail Ellis and Judy Catton. Why don't you tell me, Judy, how did this book come to be?
The actual inspiration was the California-New York Street Olympics, an event that Gail and her husband Sandy had created some years ago and which my husband Stephen and I had gotten involved with. And from that, the notion of creating – the response to the event was very positive, and that led to interest in memorializing the sentiments about the bicoastal experience in a book.
Judy, your accent makes it obvious to most of our listeners, I'm sure, that you are the representative of New York, and Gail, you're the representative of California. You're both out here in California now. Do you both plan to stay, or what?
Well, most of my wardrobe is still in my mother's house on Long Island. It's waiting for my return.
Is that the key factor? Is where the
clothes are?
Where the clothes
the girl
are.
Goes where the clothes are, right?
Well, my status kind of depends on my Brooklyn-born husband, who every time we go back to New York swears he's going to move back to New York. We still have stayed out here for 7 years, but every time we go back with New York, I go back with great trepidation that this will be the year that he decides to make the move back, because he is not acclimated to New York at all.
To L.A.?
To L.A. at all.
What is it that you missed most about L.A. when you're in New York?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly what I miss or what I have to...
No, I know about the negative factors in New York that are annoyances, but what do you miss that's positive about L.A., other than the absence of the negative factors that one finds in New York?
I miss a sense of relaxation, of people being, to use a trite phrase, but laid back, people being less pushy and less aggressive, and to feel that you don't have to fight your way into every situation, that... you can go into a restaurant and speak in a normal voice and someone will come and wait on you. You don't have to scream and lurch towards the counter and wave your money as you do in New York.
But what about the food that you'll get?
Salads, healthy foods, no fat pastrami. It's all very nice out here.
No fat pastrami. That's a contradiction in terms somehow. You take out all the heart. What do you miss most about New York here in Los Angeles?
Let me count the ways. I miss the pace and the challenge and the intensity, and I miss the action and the pastrami with the fat.
Langers, believe me, Langers.
Listen, all you New Yorkers, there's a rumor going round that some of you good people want to leave this town. But you'd better consult with me before you go.
Yeah?
Because I've been to all those places and I know.
Chicago?
Well, Chicago's all right. It's got Marshall Field and Soldier's Field and it's on a nice lake.
But it hasn't got the handsomes in the park. It hasn't got the skyline after dark.
That's why New York's my home. Let me never leave it. New York's my home, sweet home.
San Francisco?
San Francisco is a lovely place. It's got lots of hills and lots of thrills, and it's near an ocean of some size.
But it hasn't got the Bowery or the Bronx. It hasn't got the Harlem honky-tonks.
That's why New York's my home. It's my favorite city. New York's my home, sweet home.
St. Louis?
Lots of people like St. Louis. It's got lots of shoes and the St. Louis Blues, and one of our larger rivers runs by.
But it hasn't got the opera in the Met. It hasn't got a famous string quartet.
That's why New York's my home. Not a place to visit. New York's my home, sweet home.
Hollywood?
Hollywood's got movie stars and movie czars and cocktail bars and shiny cars and a wonderful climate, they say.
but it hasn't got the handy subway trains. You seldom find a taxi when it rains.
That's why New York's my home. Take your California, New York's my home, sweet home.
So save your time and trouble. Save your railroad fare. Save your time and trouble. Save your railroad fare. 'Cause when you leave New York, you don't go anywhere. So, Brother Ben, you'd better stay right there.
Do you think that L.A. and New York are becoming more alike, or do you think it's something that there will always be those two poles of existence?
I think we're probably becoming more alike because so many New Yorkers are moving to L.A. and bringing with them their tastes and personalities and imposing them on us. Maybe New York will always stay relatively the same because people don't seem to be – I don't see a mass migration of Californians to New York.
Well, I think that's not true. I think there are a lot of Californians in New York. I just think they get wiped out as soon as they go to cross the street. When my 9-year-old nephew came out here to visit, my parents, my husband, and I spent 4 days trying to entertain him. We went to Disneyland. We went to Universal Studios. We went to Grauman's Chinese. We went all over. And the only thing he talked about when he got home was how the cars stopped when he went to cross the street.
Hooray for Hollywood, that's gooey ballyhooly Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan.
And any shop girl can be a top girl if she pleases the tired businessman.
Hooray for Hollywood! You may be homely in your neighborhood.
Be an actor, see Mr. Factor. You make your kisser look good.
Go out and try your luck. You may be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood.
They hire fellas whose physiques are good, and then they tell them they're the perfect shape men to act like ape men, and they convince them they should. They make them grunt and yell, oh,
and people think they're swell,
oh, hooray for Hollywood,
it's really got me, hooray.
Something that occurred to me, there is to a lot of people in New York their image of the quintessential Los Angeles experience, which is something that I experienced once. People in New York think you do this all the time, but this only once happened to me. I was in an actual hot tub with actual people of mixed sex that were actually naked with the presence of wine and cocaine. And that's
the quintessential.
Yes. Oh, and I was also there with someone who was currently appearing on a network television program.
My God!
How did you feel?
It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It was totally awesome.
it was more just sort of, you know. So this is it. You know. Now I'll be able to say that I've done this and I've done it once. And I mean, it was a very pleasant evening. But is there a quintessential New York experience that goes with that, apart from being mugged or getting your hand stuck in the subway or coming back and finding your apartment burglarized? Although I suppose that's just as common out here.
Well, I think you are speaking of a New Yorker's fantasy image of the
California.
Ultimate California. You'd have to ask a Californian what the New York high equivalent would be.
I guess it's dinner at a fancy restaurant.
And Broadway.
And a show afterwards and drinks at the Rainbow Room and then eating breakfast at 4 a.m. somewhere down in Soho.
Holding your shoes over your hand as you stroll through Central Park with the Hanson cab. There's a commercial for a perfume or something.
Taking the Staten Island Ferry at dawn and kind of walking your way up through Manhattan to your apartment.
I'm getting so home.
9 in the morning and falling into bed completely exhausted.
Upon a little old New York that runs in two Times Square. Our crazy quilt that Wall Street Jack built. If you've got a little time to spare, I'd like to take you there. Come and meet those dancing feet. On the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Here's a beat of dancing feet. It's the song I love, the melody of Little nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. Sexy ladies from the 80s who are indiscreet. Oh, side by side, they're glorified. Where the underworld can be the elite, 42nd Street.
This is true. We moved into a house in the Hollywood Hills. I couldn't handle the sun. And I ended up buying one of those hoses that has holes in it and flipping it up over the roof. So if I sat in a particular chair, I could face a particular window and it would rain. And then I could read.
Well, you know, I have a friend who's from New York, and whenever he comes out to visit, he stays at his brother's place out in Malibu. And it's wonderful. I mean, fabulous place out in Malibu with the sound of the ocean. And he says he can't sleep because the sound of the ocean drives him crazy, and he's used to hearing traffic sounds. And you've brought along a cassette that is just wonderful. It's this thing entitled Tin Pan Apple, The Sounds of New York City. And I wish I'd had it for him because he could have just played it in his room, and it would have, I'm sure, helped him sleep. It sounds like this. That's something that I think is one of the fundamental differences between Los Angelinos and New Yorkers, is that when a New Yorker finds himself with some extra time on his hands, generally it's too funky outside to do much of anything, so it's either, you know, go to a museum or read
or
go to a movie or eat. But I mean, yeah, let's say a whole day.
Right.
I mean,
but the other thing about New York is that they always feel like they have to be doing something. My husband feels like he has to be doing something unless he has an excuse, like a weather excuse or some other kind of excuse. Whereas Californians, it's okay to do nothing all day. It's okay to just lather on some suntan lotion, go out and sit by the pool or wander down to the beach and hang out for the day. You don't have to justify your day by saying, well, I went to the Whitney in the morning, and then I caught the such-and-such exhibit at the Modern Art Museum in the afternoon. There is that kind of feeling about New Yorkers that they have to have accomplished something during
the
day.
I think the accomplishment is motivated by the desire and need to get out of the apartment.
That's another factor, yeah.
I mean, and Los Angeles, the house wins very often. I mean, you can try. You really mean to get up and out today. But the energy level gets dissipated, and it's generally comfortable. I mean, in New York, I cannot remember really going to people's homes for dinner, whereas here, you do that. Ooh, in an apartment? Ooh, claustrophobic.
Yeah, meet someplace for dinner.
And besides which, the oven couldn't hold food for more than two anyway.
Well, the point I was making, though, is that let's say you find yourself in a position where you suddenly have a lot more time, right? A New Yorker will take a class, whereas a Los Angelino will take up a new sport.
Right.
And whereas one – and I didn't mean take an exercise class, although that's probably what they're doing now. But they'd take a class in something that might end up to be a little bit more broadening than –
Chinese cooking, something like that.
Yeah, Chinese cooking rather than handball or you know
Tai Chi or some of that kind of stuff, karate.
Yeah,
we take karate out here.
I mean, yeah, or just you know adding golf to the repertoire, which already consists of tennis and handball, rather than you know learning another language or something. I mean, not that granted the average yoo-hoo that you meet on the street, yahoo that you meet on the street, is
that the guy you cross the street to avoid meeting on the street?
That's the guy who doesn't know the word for yahoo. Not that average guy is picking up languages all the time.
But they don't teach golf at the new school either.
This is true.
My husband told me that his only exposure, he grew up on West 106th Street in New York. He told me that when he was at NYU and he had to take a gym class as a semester, as a requirement, one of the things he had to take was, he had a choice, and he picked golf. Now, this is very silly. This is in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. But he went downtown to an office building up to the fourth floor and into a room where there was a net, and you stood and you swung and hit these little wiffle balls into a net. And after doing that for a semester, he decided it was a dumb game, and that was it.
All the leaves are brown.
In your book, you have a section of definitions, of conflicting definitions, words that mean different things in Los Angeles and in New York. And one of my favorites is super. Why don't you read those to us?
In L.A., super is defined as an adjective used to convey, this is California and I'm so happy and this is just fantastic. Also, the standard response to how are you? In New York.
Used as in she has a super tan.
In New York, super is the guy in the undershirt who sits on the stoop and responds to your complaining by yelling, "Shut up there!"
So that's what a super is for people that don't know.
Yes, and he does oftentimes expect to be tipped and tipped handily if you want him to come and make repairs.
Or give you some heat.
Or give you some heat. Or get rid of
it. No, when things go wrong in the apartment, I tell you, I got no help from the superintendent. I'm always looking for the super. I'll tell you, to me, the most elusive person there is an apartment house superintendent. Every time I look for him, it's the same thing. He was just here. He was over there. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. He's the Scarlet Pimpernel. That's who he is. Always looking for the super. And my super's an easy man to recognize, too. He's a short man. He has an accent. And when you talk to him, he walks away from you. I live in this building 6 years. The only time I see the super is Christmas. He sets up a tree in the lobby and keeps taking envelopes from all the tenants. I'll tell you, last Christmas, he opened my envelope, he was so surprised, you know. I gave him a list of all the things he didn't do.
See, that, I mean, that's something people are always amazed at from L.A. when they head to New York, that everyone doesn't have individual temperature controls in their apartments, that this is all controlled based on the whim and economy of the particular super.
And the calendar. It doesn't matter if there is, in fact, a cold spell. The heat does not get turned on until a certain date.
And banging on the pipes is another thing.
Banging on the pipes helps.
With a wrench, generally, something big and heavy.
Right. Which conveniently is kept there so you can also hit the ceiling to tell your upstairs neighbors to keep quiet. It has a lot of uses.
Lieutenant rises from his bed and he's cold, and so he goes over to the radiator and he summons the janitor by saying, meaning, hey. The janitor, wakened from his sleep, replies by striking the steam pipe in the basement, says, what? And the conversation goes on. The tenant says, translation, let's have some heat. Well, the janitor can decipher that correctly. However, he's a little juiced up from a party the night before, so, and he's not about to climb from his bed, so his reply, quite frankly, meaning, go back to bed. Well, now the tenant can understand that, but he doesn't care for that. So back to the radiator, and this time you can actually hear a bit more emphasis in his knock as he says, hey, janitor, there's a bit more emphasis in my knock. Let's have some heat, man. Well, the janitor's still got no eyes, so once again, go back to bed. Well, that did it. The tenant was enraged. He stormed back to the radiator and said, janitor, you lazy son of a... Let's have some heat. We think the drunken old janitor replied. And then the tenant said...
Do you know what the difference is between a ball game in L.A. and New York?
Do tell.
In L.A., an excuse to drink a lot of beer and eat hot dogs while improving your tan. In New York, serious competitive outlet for venting hostility and aggression. No excuses necessary.
Well, I was one thing that amazed me about going back to a ballgame at Yankee Stadium was that it had become almost like the opera in a strange way. I mean, I went in and you know, if you give me any seat number at Dodger Stadium, I can tell you exactly where it is because I know my way around Dodger Stadium. I don't know my way around Yankee Stadium, so I just went up to an usher and I said, where is this? He would not tell me. He took me by the hand, and he handed me over to someone else, and he handed me over to someone else. They took me to the seat. The guy took out a cloth, wiped off the seat, and stood there waiting for a tip, which completely amazed me. And they also sell blintzes.
Blintzes here?
Yeah, get your blintzes.
When we first moved out, the week, I think, that we arrived in New York, the Knicks were playing out here. The Knicks were playing the Lakers. This goes back sometime when the Knicks used to have a team. But we decided to go to the Forum and go to... Now, in New York, unless you're fortunate enough to have access to somebody's house seats or company seats, it is common practice to get the least expensive seats and to give the usher a few dollars and move up, which is what we very naively intended to do, except we confronted this wide-eyed, smiling, freckled face innocent from the San Fernando Valley who we handed the few dollars to, and he looked very puzzled, and we kind of said, you know, and he didn't. And when he finally got it, he went, oh, no, we can't do that. And so it went. We slithered away feeling like a corrupter of youth.
Well, the first time we went to a basketball game out here in L.A., my husband was amazed to be able to hear a ball bounce because he said, God, when you go and listen to watch the Knicks, you can never, ever hear a ball bounce. I mean, the crowd is so unruly and so loud that he had never, ever heard the sound of a ball bouncing.
One of the annoying things about baseball here, in Dodger Stadium at least, is that people start leaving to beat the traffic at about the seventh inning or so. I mean, I talked to someone who went to the playoff game the other night, and it was a wonderful game. And, you know, I talked about something that happened in the ninth inning. Well, we were on our way to the car then, and you know, this is a playoff game. you know, speaking of baseball, I have probably the ultimate cross-cultural record, the ultimate bi-coastal record. Here are four members of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Start spreading.
Well, I mean, talking about the difference in the way things are looked at, I find when I go back to New York for a visit that there is a real suspicion bordering on loathing of Los Angeles among people that live in New York. It's like it's the fruits and nuts syndrome. It's, you know, this is where the crazies are, and you know, how can you live there? And it's so plastic and so ridiculous. Whereas you don't really find the corresponding loathing back towards New York. I think people in Los Angeles have a certain amount of awe and maybe a slight fear of New York as being, you know, that's maybe the big leagues to a certain extent.
Yeah, they see it as an interesting specimen thing. But why bother going there very often? And I think that's how they feel about New York.
Not a
hatred. Whereas I think a lot of New Yorkers really, really put down L.A.
It's hard not to see the inferiority complex syndrome L.A. has come a long way, baby, but there's no question that theater reviews in the L.A. Times will talk about how it's rivaling Broadway or an art. You hear commercials for delis as good as New York and that sort of thing. You never hear that, the flip side of that in New York as to L.A. But I think Californians tend, yeah, there's a certain amount of fear. But also, I mean, the California arrogance would never manifest itself with the kind of ballyhoo that the New Yorker arrogance would. I mean, Californians who believe that Los Angeles is eminently superior would politely keep that to themselves.
I guess that's the same reason that
New Yorkers would holler about it.
That's the same reason people haven't noticed the Californians in New York, is that they're just sort of quiet about it.
Low profile, try to fit in, adapt.
Whereas New Yorkers come out
probably.
Here. New Yorkers come out here
and say, well, what the hell's wrong with this?
You call this a deli?
Well, I guess there's no conclusions we can draw from this. I'd like to thank Judy Catton and Gail Ellis, the authors of the Bicoastal Handbook, just published by Jeremy Tarcher. And it's $6.95, and it's a lot of laughs. I guess, actually, the only conclusion that we can draw from this is we should all pack up tomorrow and head for Chicago. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bob Glaster.